Welcome to the IP 360 podcast, brought to you by IP Private Wealth. This podcast talks about wealth, health, and all the different ways we measure our success. It's a true 360-degree look at how we manage our wealth. Today is another Beyond the Ice special edition of the podcast, where we talk about wealth for the professional athlete. I'm joined today by Kent Manderville, private wealth advisor who leads the Hockey Family Office division of IP Private Wealth. Kent is a retired NHL player with over 700 games in his career and is now a certified financial planner, which gives him a unique and firsthand understanding of hockey professionals and their finances. Today, Kent and I talk about the challenges with balancing hockey and life, whether that's from injury, world events, or retirement. Let's go to the interview. We're here today with Kent Manderville, private wealth advisor, leading the Hockey Family Office, a division of IP Private Wealth. Kent, welcome.
Thanks a lot. Nice to be here.
Remind us, tell us a little bit about what you do at the Hockey Family Office.
Well, it's basically an extension of IP Private Wealth. And what it does is has the same rigor, the same discipline as the IP 360, yet we customized it for hockey professionals to basically provide that trusted wealth management for hockey professionals. So it's an integrated, comprehensive wealth management strategy for people in the hockey industry.
Excellent. And we're here today, we want to cover the topic of work-life balance during downtime for hockey professionals. So there's a couple times when a hockey professional might have downtime, off-season, injury, events outside your control, you know, 2020, and of course, retiring or moving beyond the rink. So can we cover each of those? Can we kind of go into each of those concepts and what does that mean for work-life balance?
Absolutely. Sure.
And your experience, Kent, is that you're a retired NHL player yourself.
Yes.
So you've been through the ups and downs of off season and injury and all that exciting stuff, right?
Oh yeah, for sure.
So tell us a little bit about how does a hockey professional balance out the intensity of game time, season time, against downtime?
Yeah, that's a good point. And it's something that I don't think a lot of people outside the industry really appreciate. But I remember some people in the past looking at our schedule and they'd say, well, you know, you guys play 14 games this month. What do you do with all your downtime? You know, not really putting their mind to the travel, the practice, the training. And as you said, it's very intense. So not only on a personal level, but also on a team level, you have to perform. So there's really, when you're on, you've got to be really on and you're performing in front of a lot of people. And quite frankly, your job's at stake, contracts are at stake, your team success is at stake. So a lot of pressure. And so I think the real key thing, and it took me a while to learn as a young player, when you're coming into the league, you need to decompress. You need to find a way to relax, because when you're on and you have that pressure, you want to have enough energy, focus, mental power available for when you actually do perform. So a lot of guys do different things. For me, it was reading. It was, you know, even going to a movie, working out, where you're just actually more just stretching. And it's just really turning your mind off and really giving your body and mind a break. But that's essentially on a day-to-day basis. You would try and find on a practice day, for example, you know, after practice, grab a bite to eat, maybe with your teammates, with your wife, whatever. And then just, you really need to make sure you relax. You can't be on all the time. So those off days, you take advantage of them. Whatever you do to relax, you need to do that.
Are the off times more about a mental break or a physical break?
I think it's a bit of both, but because I think that's the biggest distinction. And there's a lot of guys, and I'm thinking specifically of the players here, there's a lot of people with really high talent, physical talent. And I think what really separates guys that play in the NHL for a significant amount of time is really their mental abilities. and being able to persevere through slumps, through losing streaks, through trades, through injuries. And so that's where it's really critical to take those times off when you do have the downtime. So even going out for a nice meal, I know it's a nice meal, but it's just that release, just letting go, being with teammates, being with friends, family, really critical to renew those reserves that you have, whether it's mental or physical.
Right. And when players are taking time off, can it be, I would imagine it would be difficult sometimes to feel completely at ease with that, right? Like if there was a time where you could be at the gym or you could be on the rink, to give yourself permission to step away, is that sometimes difficult?
I think because you train so hard, you physically cannot do it where you're going full on, full out. Before I played in the NHL, I was at Cornell University playing hockey, and the guys would train so hard because we played two games every week. And so those games, it was almost like football. You practice all the time. And then these games were such a big thing. The difference in pro when you're playing, whether it's in the NHL, the American Hockey League, whatever, is that it's more continuous. It's more, you know, game day, off day, game, off. You know, it's more of a flow where you got to hit those peaks and valleys. And so it's a bit about giving yourself permission. But I think physically and mentally, your body just demands that you have to adapt. And that's whether it's zoning out and just watching a good movie or Netflix, a good book. But yeah, I think you physically cannot keep going at a high pace.
Right. That makes sense. We've talked before about the intensity of a hockey professional's schedule, that, you know, your meal times are planned, your nap times are planned, your practice time, everything's planned, right? Yeah. So when you've got off-season time, is it the same or do you get to kind of loosen up?
Well, this is where the evolution has changed from when I played, because when I played, a lot of guys took several months off from the ice and they'd be training in the gym, but they would not be on the ice until you get into August, maybe even mid-August. So I actually took advantage of that. I left Cornell early, and in the summers, especially when I first turned pro, I went back to Cornell in the summers and I took classes, and I was still training and still, you know, moving forward on my training in that aspect, but I was doing other things. One summer, my girlfriend and I, who's now my wife, we went to Turkey. Another summer we went to Italy. And so again, it's that taking that downtime and making sure you have full use of it. But I think right now it's getting to the point where there's skills training and you're on the ice almost 11 months out of the year. And it's a change, but that makes it more necessary to have those downtimes, not just during the season, but in the off season when you're doing that training. Maybe you're doing training at your cottage or in California or wherever, and you can get away from the training once you're done.
Right. So that sounds like there's a lot of pressure to always be thinking about hockey. And so how
always
does...
always about hockey, but always about, you know, where you are in your contract. Where right. are you going to be this year? How did the team do last year? What was your role there? You know, what players are coming up in the system? And so for me, I was a bottom six forward. I was a checker. I killed penalties. Every year I went to camp, I mean, I lasted for 12 years, but every year I went to camp, I was battling for my job. And even if I had a contract, there's the waiver draft at the end of training camp where the team could only protect so many players. So again, even if you have a contract, you can get picked up on waivers and you can be traded or you can be moved for whatever reason. So again, always the pressure. And for the top guns too, the pressure is they've got to produce. They've mm-hmm. got to score. How is the team done? Oh, you know, you only scored 40 goals last year. You're getting paid to score 50. So there's different pressures for different players, but no mistake about it. Every player, every position has those pressures.
That sounds like it could really overlap into your family life and your personal life to have that pressure. And it's, you're right, it's not just about the physical game of hockey. It's about the whole experience of teamwork and contracts. And it's, you know, it's an entire complicated career. I mean, many of us that have desk jobs or such don't have to think about some of those things unless we want to, right? I decide if I want to work out today, but the level of pressure must be really high, and it must really infringe on some of that family time.
It does, but I think you get to a point where you can separate it. And quite frankly, I think it actually helps you cope better with it. That was one thing we saw when the guys were, when the NHL was in the bubble. And a common refrain from the players was they just couldn't get away from the game of hockey. You know, you're basically trapped. You're in the hotel. You're going to the rink. Everywhere you turned, you had hockey. And the nice thing is when you're home under normal circumstances, you don't have to be at the rink. Obviously, you go home. There's escapes that you can take advantage of. And with those escapes, it gives you some mental energy and some physical energy as well. So that's really the challenge of being in that bubble where it grinds on you and you don't have that that escape from those pressures.
Right. Are there any tips you can tell us around sort of making a hockey career a comfortable or a positive experience for your family? There must be times where some of the travel is really hard, the pressure, the schedules.
Yeah, it's interesting because that's the part where people see the glamour. You know, you see the, you know, you're on the chartered flights, you stay at nice hotels, you're going to nice restaurants. That's great. Having a partner, having a spouse that's supportive is so key and critical. And so that's one thing where it becomes a challenge. It's definitely a stress point. And that's why when you get into the transition with retirement, you no longer have, you know, that sweet life of traveling at nice restaurants, nice hotels. You're home all the time and you have to find that new routine. And sometimes that causes friction. And that becomes a challenge. And it's a challenge, I think, every player, when they leave the game, they face. Some do better than others, but it's the reality of the situation. So I think it's key to have that family support. And the best, whether you're playing in the game or transitioning, having that support, and it goes both ways, is really key and critical for success.
Yeah, I did a little bit of work with the Senators Foundation at one point, and I really noticed how much the wives of the players seem to also have connected with each other and had their own network of support. Does that resonate across other situations aside from charitable foundations?
Yeah, I mean, when you look at it, it's basically a community, and the commonality that the players have, that's helpful. So when I get traded to a team, I go in the dressing room. You might have been swearing at the guy at the previous game, but now you're teammates. And the reality is everybody's been in that situation where they're the quote unquote new guy. So guys of the team where you're going to, just in the example of a trade, they're very welcoming. On the other hand, the challenge is, and this is where we've been in great situations where on the wives' side, on the spouse's side, it's been an incredible resource. And I remember once when I got traded to Philadelphia, my wife was pregnant at the time. And so just whether you're finding a doctor or any kind of support, where to live, where to stay, all those things, that wives community was extremely important because, you know, they're the ones that are alone when you're going off on those road trips. So I think that's a key critical part of just as a support network for everybody.
So when a player is, I mean, off-season time is one thing, other times where, you know, it's outside your control is one thing, but an injury situation, the mental sort of process of being off an injury, I would assume is probably a little bit different than off-season, right? It's sort of what you have to grapple with internally when you're down because you can't play.
Yeah, it's, you know, quite frankly, it's the worst position to be in as a player because generally the tendency is that the team really doesn't want you around too much either. You know, you almost become a bit of a distraction. Now, different teams have different philosophies, But when I was playing, it was generally, you know, you'd go in and get treatment either before guys got in or after, but usually you get in early, you get your treatment done for whatever needed to be done by the training staff. And then when the guys were coming, you'd go off and you'd do a workout, whatever you could do, depending on the injury, obviously. And then when they were on the ice, you might get a second round of treatment. And then, you know, you're very removed. And then when the team's on the road, obviously they're not around, you stay at home and you're still doing your training. And so that's a bit of a challenge. And even I went through a few concussions too. And then you couldn't even do the workouts, or, you know, not what you're used to. So in a lot of ways, it's very isolating, and it's definitely a grind mentally. And the honest truth is, you look at it, other guys could take your job while you're away. The team goes on a winning streak. Hey, maybe we don't need this guy. Maybe we can trade him away and get a different position help or whatever. So yeah, there's always a stress there, but that's the reality. That's the way it goes.
is that a period where, or a time where a player might be thinking about life after hockey a little bit more seriously than, you know, during a golden season that everything's going great?
Yeah, well, I think it depends on where the player is in their career. Obviously, as you go through your career, that thought process goes in a little bit more. Plus, you probably have a family, kids, dependents there. And you start thinking about, you know, what you need to do to provide or at least protect what you've made so far. So I do think, but I mean, obviously, and I was the same way, when you're early in your career, you're not thinking about that. You just want to get back as quickly as possible. But no question, as you get older, you start thinking, okay, what's the next step? Like, this is a reality. I'm going to have to face it sometime. What do I need to do?
Do you have any tips for how a player could sort of manage some of that work-life balance during a time when he just can't play, whether it's injury, we've got isolation, lockdown situations happening. How do you sort of balance out, you know, you're so driven, your whole being is built around like the psychology and thinking about hockey and the physical work of hockey. You know, during a time when either injury or something else outside your control, how do you sort of transition comfortably into thinking about other things, working on other things? How do you kind of get your mind somewhere else? I know some people that I work with in business, they have a hard time thinking beyond the thing that they do all day. When the lights turn off, they don't ever really sleep, right? Like mentally, they're always thinking about what their gig is. So how can a guy kind of work on that transition?
Yeah, I would say, and I could be wrong on this, but I would say that anybody that can't turn that off, they don't last. I mean, you cannot last. You can't get a bad sleep, because I mean, it might happen if you've made a mistake on a play or you're not playing well, that might, but it becomes a downward spiral. And when I say you don't last, is you can't perform physically at peak level. Is if, you know, if you're worried or you can't sleep or whatever. So I think players that play, you know, a substantial amount of time in the NHL, they get used to the kind of turning things off on a very general level. But I do think, again, you just, when, you know, for example, in the pandemic, when you can't get to a gym, I think one key thing to do is just to stay active, you know, whether it's using your own body weight for exercises, find a way to keep active, because that directly affects your physical ability to deal with, you know, the emotional roller coaster that we're all going through when you're going through the pandemic. So getting a sweat, stretching, yoga, just some deep breaths, also just, you know, actually just looking about what's good in your life and expressing some gratitude, that goes a long way too. But whatever you do, it just really starts on the physical side. You're so used to being physically active. The problem that it happens when guys get into retirement, maybe you hurt a knee or your arm or whatever, and you stop being physical, that affects your mental health. You need to find a way to adapt and accommodate, but we're used to being so much on the move. That has to be the beginning part. And then from there, you just get your mind going in the right direction too.
Right. Okay. So I think everybody who doesn't play or isn't involved professionally in hockey thinks that hockey players do two things, play hockey and play golf. So, so tell me, what are some hobbies that you've seen players engage in aside from hockey?
Well, I mean, golf's obviously one that was, that is big. Guys like to play golf. I know in the summer meetings, we'd have the NHLPA summer meetings, and a lot of the guys, the European guys, would actually play tennis. Oh. So whether they're Czech, Slovak, Swedish, Finnish, whatever, but they would tend to, I mean, as a very rough generalization, guys would play tennis as well. And I think it's good just to be active and do something. But I would say golf and tennis would be the primary ones because you also don't want to get injured. So if you're playing pickup basketball, you know, or guys at the cottage, they might have jet skis. But again, that's more, you know, passive compared to being physically active. But I think golf and tennis would be the primary ones.
Right. Well, Kent, thank you so much for sharing this insight with us today. I'm looking forward to our next podcast. We're going to cover the topic of interesting transitions with you. So I think this will segue really nicely. Looking forward to speaking with you again.
Looking forward to it. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the IP360 podcast, Beyond the Ice edition. If you'd like to reach out to Kent and his team in the Hockey Family Office, head to hockeyfamilyoffice.com. You can also head to ipprivatewealth.com for more information on the IP360 philosophy to wealth management. See you next time. And now for the fine print. The opinions and statements expressed by our team are effective as of the date of this broadcast and may be subject to change.